Thank you, Robbie. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Andrew Strain, and I will be serving as the TRPA hearings officer today. I will call the meeting of April 29th, 2021 to order. The first item on our agenda today is the approval of the agenda following the call to order. At this point, reverse the order of our two public hearing items so that we will first take the demolition of the existing house at 746 Lincoln Highway and construction of a new single family dwelling that's in Douglas County. That will be item A, and we'll take item A today that's on the screen in front of everyone, the new single parcel pier, Stock Johansson, and that will become item B. I'll ask the staff if they have any other changes to the agenda today. All right, hearing none, we'll move on to item three on today's agenda, the public interest comments. Any member of the public wishing to address the hearings officer on any agenda item not listed as an announcement of appeal right or public hearing item or on any other issue may do so at this time. However, public comments on announcement of appeal rights or public hearing items will be taken at the time those agenda items are heard. Please note the hearings officer is prohibited by law from taking immediate action on or discussing issues raised by the public that are not listed on this agenda. And anyone wishing to address the hearings officer on a public interest comments that's not for action today is 3 minutes. And Robbie will look for a show of hands.
Any member of the public who would like to address the hearings officer may do so at this time by utilizing the hand raising feature of the GoToWebinar app. The hand icon is located on the tab to the left of the GoToWebinar control panel. If you'd like to comment, please raise your hand and I will announce and unmute you. You will have 3 minutes to make your comments. And please raise your hand now if you'd like to make a comment. No hands were raised, so we can continue with the review of this agenda.
Thank you, Robbie. We'll move on to agenda item number four, the announcement of appeal rights. I want to let those listening know that any decision of the hearings officer is appealable to the TRPA governing board within 21 days of the hearings officer decision. The application fee and appeal application can be found at the TRPA website. Moving on to item five, our public hearing items. We have two, as previously mentioned, and we will, in fact, reverse the order from what's been initially listed on the agenda. Before we begin, I want to ask our legal counsel, Marcia Birch, to cover our public input and public comment process that we will follow.
Well, as Robbie mentioned, we will go ahead and have public comment limited to 3 minutes. I understand that we have some representatives who are representing a larger group for the second item. And there will be 10 minutes for Mr. Lean and his group to present to the hearings officer. Any other comments will be limited to 3 minutes. And also there will be an opportunity for the hearings officer to ask any questions. And certainly there wouldn't be any limitation on the time to respond adequately to those questions.
And Marcia.
Thank you, Marcia. We'll ask Robbie to keep the time for us.
Okay, I do have a hand raised at this moment from a member of the public.
Okay, Robbie, so you're going to take a question regarding the process?
I believe so. I can unmute Greg if he'd like to ask a question, if that's okay.
Yep, let's go ahead and do that.
Greg, you are unmuted.
Great. I just had a quick question. I heard the limitation about 10 minutes. I'm aware that in the past, people from the public have been able to yield additional time because, you know, the making the presentation, in this case, either perhaps myself or Brent Trams, may be making a point that the public wants to make. So can people, again, defer some of their time and provide that in addition to the 10 minutes?
Well, I'll go ahead and let Andrew chime in if he wants to, but my response to that is, you know, we're going to have a time limit on individual comments. In this particular case, we understand that you are representing a larger group, and the hearings officer is willing to allow, because of that, a 10-minute time period for your comments.
That's correct, Marcia. We'll proceed with that. All right, let's move on to item 5, our public hearing items. The first item is the Lincoln Highway item, 746 Lincoln Highway LLC, the demolition of a historic resource and construction of a new single family dwelling, 746 Lincoln Highway, that's in the Zephyr Cove neighborhood, Douglas County, Nevada, assessor's parcel number 131810-310-002, and the TRPA file number is ERSP 2020-2099. Julie Roll, I believe this is your item.
Hi, Andrew. Thank you. This is Julie Roll. So representing this item, and I believe we have Jennifer Kwasnik on the line, and she's the agent representing the property owner on this one. I just want to make one quick mention that there haven't been any changes to the actual staff report or draft permit, but I have added to the record a signed copy of the mitigated findings of no significant effect. And for anyone listening who doesn't know what that is, it's just a signed statement that says that conditions of the permit mitigate any potential impacts of the project. So that was missing from the original packet that's been uploaded online and added to our file. So just wanted to mention that. And otherwise, I've not received any public comments so far on this project.
Thank you, Julie. Do we know if our contract planner is on the phone or participating today?
No, I do not believe so.
I'm sorry, I couldn't quite hear the response.
Sorry, Andrew, no, they're not on the line today.
Okay, but we have a representative of the applicant?
We do.
Yes, hi, it's Jennifer Kwasnik, I'm here.
Good. Any remarks, Jennifer?
No, we've been working with staff on this one, and I think we've got all our questions answered.
I have a couple of questions for Jennifer, since we don't have Lynn today.
All right.
Given that we're in the historic district that's been designated, can you talk, Jennifer, about what the new are, and I've been down to the site and visited it and am familiar with it. Can you talk about what design aspects and design elements that the project architect or design team has used to complement and support the existing historic neighborhood and district that's been designated? Can you tell us about that?
Excuse me. Basically, they tried to keep a look of the Tahoe rustic. I don't know how detailed of information you want.
The more the better.
So, and I'm sorry, I would prefer to have the architecture answer this. I apologize. I'm not prepared to answer that right now.
The other question I had is, in looking at the historic resource recovery plan and report and looking at the site photos versus the information that was in the packet, including the original site assessment, which I understand was some years ago, there what shows up very clearly on the photographs is there's a hot tub and a deck that are down on the lakeside of the property between the house and the retaining wall, which I understand is a common area feature or element that's not owned or controlled by this property owner. And I didn't see any mention or any discussion of that hot tub and deck as part of the application materials or in the existing land coverage assessment. Can you talk about that and when that was installed and whether or not that was permitted?
There was the wood deck on the existing land coverage verification.
That's right. No, that's on there. What's separate is down in the landscaped area, or what was shown as landscaped area in the site assessment, there's now a, at least it shows up and very clear, a separate ground level deck and a hot tub.
Oh yeah, I do not know when those were installed, but obviously they're both going to be removed and replaced.
Yeah, that's why I was hoping that Lynn, if he had been on site and done some research as part of his review, would be able to speak to that.
Andrew, this is Julie. I can chime in a little bit because I've spoken with Lynn about it, and he wasn't able to, you know, ascertain when the hot tub was built. But as Jennifer stated, just, you know, the coverage is being rectified and everything's being brought into conformance with this new permit. So, you know, we've just decided to leave it as that with this, you know, coverage issue. That the coverage being approved as part of this proposed project would be in compliance with the allowable for the
company. It feels like I'm hearing about every other word, Julie, from you. I don't know if it's my connection or if it's the webinar.
I'm sorry, I'm not sure. I can say that again. Lynn was not able to determine when the hot tub was built. But we decided that the coverage would be rectified as part of this permit. So we decided to leave it at that.
That I can hear, thank you. Okay, I don't have any further questions. Would like to open the public hearing.
All right, Andrew, there was a comment from Brett Goodman in the chat. He's the owner, and he says the hot tub has already been removed.
Very good. And that includes the deck that was with it?
He's said the deck will be removed this Sunday.
Thank you. At this point, I'd like to open the public hearing and we'll pass it back to Robbie, who will look for a show of hands for anyone wishing to provide public comment on this item.
Again, any members of the public who would like to address the hearings officer about this agenda item may do so at this time by utilizing the hand-raising feature of the GoToWebinar app. The hand icon is located on the tab to the left of the GoToWebinar control panel. If you'd like to comment, please raise your hand and I will announce and unmute you, and then you'll have 3 minutes to make your comments. And please raise your hand now if you'd like to make a comment. Huh? No hands were raised, so we can continue with the review of this agenda item.
Thank you, Robbie. Seeing how we have no additional public comment, I will close the public hearing and take action on the project. And the action is based on the staff recommendation. I will approve the project as presented, including the findings that are presented in the staff report as part of the project record. for chapter four, the required findings. And I presume that this will also, Julie and Marcia, include our FONSI, the finding on which the FONSI was based that Julie described in her presentation. The chapter 30 land coverage findings, the chapter 37 height findings, and the chapter 67 historic resource protection findings. Julie or Marcia, did I miss any of our findings?
I don't believe so.
I don't think so.
Thank you. Let's move on to what was once item A is now item B, the Stock Johannesson new single parcel pier located at 5568 Northlake Boulevard in Placer County. On the California side, the assessor's parcel number is 116-220-049, and the TRPA file number is ERSP2020-0074. Brandy McMahon, I believe this is your item. Can you please introduce it?
Sure. Thank you, Andrew. So just for a little bit of background for everyone listening today, the TRPA Governing Board adopted a new shoreline plan in October 2018. New single parcel and then multiple parcel piers are allowed as part of that plan. A maximum of 128 piers will be distributed over the life of the plan, and every 2 years, TRPA distributes allocations for single parcel multiple parcel piers. In 2019, TRPA awarded 5 allocations for new single parcel piers, and these allocations for single parcel piers were awarded based on a random selection or a lottery. The proposed project applicant, the project applicant received an allocation for a single parcel pier as a result of this lottery. The proposed single parcel pier is for the property located at 5568 Northlake Boulevard, Carnelian Bay, Placer County, California. The applicants are Virginia Stock and George Johannesson. The proposed pier would extend approximately 108 feet from the shoreline to the pier headline. It would have a pier head of 30 feet in length and would be 10 feet in width, and include a 3-foot adjustable catwalk. The proposed pier would include a 6,000-pound boat lift on the south side of the pier head. Staff has reviewed the application and found that it complies with development and location standards for single parcel piers, and those standards are provided in the TRPA Code of Ordinances. And therefore, staff is recommending that the hearings officer make the required findings and approve the proposed project. This project was continued from the April 1st hearings officer meeting at the applicant's request to give the applicant time to discuss the details of this proposed project with the neighbors. As you're aware, we've received a significant amount of public correspondence from neighbors regarding this project. All the public correspondence we received prior to this meeting, before we assembled, the staff report has been included in the staff report, and then all public correspondence received to date has been submitted to the hearings officer for your review and consideration. The main concerns the public and neighbors have raised is with the pier itself, as well as navigation issues. With regards to navigation issues, TRPA staff reached out to the Coast Guard and provided them the plans to see if they had any concerns, and they responded they did not identify any navigation issues. The applicant reached out to the Army Corps of Engineers to see if they could identify any navigation concerns, and they did not identify any navigation concerns. So with that, I am available if you have any questions. Wyatt Ogilvie, let me point out a couple more things. Wyatt Ogilvie, he's with Ogilvie Consultant Consulting. He is representing the applicant. He did submit a PowerPoint presentation, and I provided that to Robbie. And Robbie is going to go through the slides why Wyatt presents the project. And then also Greg Lean, on behalf of the neighbor, has submitted two PowerPoint presentations that he would like to go over when we open public comment. With that, do you have any questions for me?
Brandy, thank you. Can you please recap or summarize review and any input from the Shoreline Review Committee? I'm going to call it the Shore Zone.
Yes, I can do that. So TRPA convenes a monthly Shoreline Review Committee, and that is made up of agencies that permit shoreline projects you know, along the shoreline of Lake Tahoe. So that includes state lands, agencies, Fish and Wildlife, Army Corps, Coast Guard, let me think, and as well as others. And so I took this project to the Shoreline Review Committee twice in February and October of 2020. The only comments I received at the meetings was from the California State Lands Commission, and they requested that public access be maintained in the public access easement. So in the pier design, they've incorporated signage as well as steps to ensure public access.
Thank you, Brandy. And given our relatively new set of shoreline development standards, including those for single use piers, can you please just run down the facts and figures of this proposal in terms of length, width, extension, structures?
Sure. So the length is 108 feet from the shoreline. The pier head is 30 feet in length and 10 feet in width. There's a 3-foot adjustable catwalk, and then there's a 6,000-pound boat lift. And then it's my understanding Wyatt Ogilvie will also be going over the pier design, and he has a PowerPoint presentation with pictures, so he'll be able to show those to you and the public.
And you were able to determine that this design and location complies with the applicable standards that are in our shoreline plan?
Yes.
Very good. Those are my questions. Thank you. I'll turn it over to Mr. Ogilvie for his remarks.
Good afternoon, Mr. Strain, Wyatt Ogilvie, and members of TRPA staff. I'll keep this brief, but I thought some additional photographs and points in addition to the staff summary might be useful for today's discussion. Let's see, Robbie, if you want to. There we go. This is from Google Earth and illustrates the location of the property in relation to Flick Point. Flick Point is directly east of Sierra Boat Company, for those of you who know its location, on the northern shore of the lake, of course. The red dot, based on Google Earth, represents the driveway access down to the property. And then there's a notation between the two existing boat piers with boathouse superstructures locating the approximate location of this proposed pier along the point. Next slide, please, Robbie. And this image, unfortunately, appears not to scale properly in your in the image for some reason, the way it came through to you. But essentially, if it wasn't truncated there at the bottom right corner, it shows the segment of the TRPA pier headline map adopted back from 1971, showing the development of the shoreline and that a number of the piers around the point project beyond the lake bottom elevation 6219. It's all right, Robbie, we can just carry on. You may hear today that this is all happening very quickly and fast, and we just put together a list of some of the threshold dates through the development of the project since the pier lottery allocation award that Brandy noted through the date of filing, to note the duration of this project's been of public record and in review. And I just highlight that in June of last year, based on a inquiry from the Hirosh family, the adjoining property to the south, that Brandy had sent at their request copies of the proposed plans that are before you today. Next. This is an image taken perpendicular to the shoreline from a vantage towards the property. The Stock Johannesson residence is barely visible in the shadows at the center of the frame, and to the left of frame or to the south is the Hirosh property. And then the gable with glass and white trim you can see towards the right of the frame is the Michael Kelly Trust property. And then with the two adjoining boathouse superstructures visible left and right of the frame to the respective parcels. Next slide, please, Robbie. This is a view to the north of the Kelly Trust property boathouse. And then next, please, Robbie. And then a view of the Hirosh boathouse and sun deck, a pier that's an existing non-conforming rock crib pier. And the boathouse superstructure projects into the projection line setback under current development standards for piers. Next slide, please. As Brandy referenced, we did, on behalf of the owners, Virginia Stock and Chip Johannesson, continue this matter for a period of 30 days to allow for some dialogue with the Hirosh family and their representatives. They had, prior to our meeting, constructed the story poles that you can see center frame to represent the approximate location of the pier. And from our site meeting, we agree that this that those story poles are, you know, generally depict an accurate location of the proposed pier, with the intention being the catwalk being the left two poles, the pier head, and then the boat lift to the right, even though the boat lift projection, it's a little out of scale because the pier head should be larger than the boat lift itself. Next slide, please, Robbie. So there's obviously the plans are included in the staff report, and based on scale, it's not readily legible probably to people viewing on the screen. However, the dimensions, as Brandy referenced, have the pier projecting to the pier headline. It does in this section of shoreline. The pier headline is slightly more lakeward than the 6219 lake bottom elevation. As this exhibits, the two adjoining structures project to that pier headline. And from going back to the pier headline map and the development of the shoreline, I think these structures project further lakeward. Historically, they're built further lakeward, I should say, given the rocky character of the shoreline and considerations of navigation. The code requires a setback of 20 feet from the projected property line, and acknowledging the entry to the neighbor's boathouse and its proximity to the projection line due to the encroachment into the setback. Chip and Virginia, in the inception of design, directed our office to have the pier hug the northerly setback to provide a more equal balance between those piers and provide the greatest extent of clearance from that adjoining structure. The development standards under the code adopted by the governing board in coordination with the 2018 shoreline EIS requires a 40-foot separation, and based on the proposed location, just shy of 80 feet to 79 and a half feet rounds being provided. I guess I would note that under the new development standards and location standards, there's relatively, I mean, they were written and I think purposefully to be fairly concise. There's not a lot of variation to meet a conforming single-use pier design. And so with that, you know, in conclusion, we view the structure as in conformance with both those more recently adopted development standards and location standards. You know, to my point that I was speaking to, one of the organizing principles of the shoreline plan was for that plan to implement predictable and consistent rules by them being fairly finite. And I think we've done that. We agree with staff's conclusion that the design's in conformance with those standards. Lost my last point there, Robbie, but the additional length I want to speak to, and that the length does terminate at the pier headline, as I said, and in this case that's further lakeward. That provision is subject to a slope through that segment of the pier, which this pier adheres to. It can allow for up to an additional 15 feet. In this case, based on the location of the pier headline, the design proposes an additional 12 feet, 3 inches. And the additional length, I think not only illustrated by the adjoining piers and development of the point, but comments received from the U.S. Coast Guard related to navigation and their concerns of navigation at low water, which are included in the staff report package, I think speak to the need for a bit of additional length for additional draft for safe navigation in low water periods. So other than that, I think we can leave it to questions or clarification from either Mr. Strain or staff. Prior to going to that, we do have one request, which is when Mr. Lean speaks, we would we'd appreciate hearing confirmation of the parties that he is representing today, in as much that in our previous discussion, he's only represented the Hirosh family. And so, of course, as would be typical, we would ask at the conclusion of both presentation by Mr. Lean, comments to the public, and any deliberation of staff that we have an opportunity to speak. I have Greg Gatto representing as counsel Mrs. Stock and Mr. Johannesson, and Chip and Virginia are on the line as well and may wish to speak. So with that, I'll close my presentation comments and appreciate your time.
Thank you, Wyatt. No questions. I followed along, and I don't have any further questions at this point.
Excellent.
Brandy, any other comments from the staff's perspective?
I do not have any additional comments.
Okay. All right. At this point, I will go ahead and open the public hearing, and I will turn it over to Robbie, who will start the clock and look for a show of hands. And based on the timing and process remarks that we made at the top of this agenda item for public hearings, we'll have 10 minutes available for the presentation. For Mr. Lean, other commenters will have 3-minute maximum. Robbie, I'll let you look for the show of hands, please.
Okay, any members of the public who would like to address the hearings officer about this agenda item may do so at this time by utilizing the hand-raising feature of the GoToWebinar app. Hand icon is located on the tab to the left of the GoToWebinar control panel. If you'd like to comment, please raise your hand and I will announce and unmute you, and then you'll have 3 minutes to make your comments. Please raise your hand at this time if you'd like to address the hearings officer. Okay, I have quite a few hands. The first one I saw up was Greg Lean. Greg, I'm going to unmute you right now. Greg, you are unmuted, and I believe Greg was representing multiple parties, so hearings officer agreed to give you 10 minutes. Is that correct, Andrew?
Yes, that's correct, and as requested by the applicant's representative, please, Greg, state who you are representing for the record.
Absolutely. Greg Lean representing the Hirosh family. And before I begin, if you could unmute Brent Trams as well before we start, that will facilitate us going through our slideshow. And Robbie, if you could bring that up, we'll try and move through as quickly as we can as soon as you can get that up.
I tried to unmute Brent. It says that Brent is self-muted.
Brent, if you can address that issue, I'll just launch in here.
Can you hear me?
With a few comments. Well, I guess we should wait. We've only got 10 minutes. So I want to make them count here. So let's wait until we get Brent on.
Can you hear me now, Andrew?
There we go. And Robbie, if you could bring up.
Great, already here.
Okay, and Andrew, are we going to bring this PowerPoint presentation up?
Yes, please.
Okay.
All right, great. So I think one of the main things that we need to look at while Robbie's bringing that up is that, you know, if you meet the design standards, that's not the end of the story. You can meet all of the design standards, but there are other required findings in the code, most notably in Chapter 80 and Chapter 84, that we want to really focus on and address. The applicants here have gone for everything possible with all the bells and whistles. That doesn't automatically mean you're on your road to an approval. So let's go to the second slide right away, Robbie, if you could. And we want to talk about the compatibility. This is a mandatory finding. The proposed structure has to be compatible with uses or structures in the immediate vicinity. That term being undefined, I'll just say very quickly, compatibility is defined as a state in which two things are able to exist or occur together without problems or conflict. Next slide, please. In this particular case, we've got a pier that really is designed in a way, again, to get the maximum possible, and we understand why they want that. No harm done in terms of intent. But in function, we do have a problem. Next slide, please. So as you can see, this goes all the way out to the pier headline. And the unique thing about the Hirosh pier is that the slips are oriented toward the north. So you can only access them that way. Next slide, please. As you can see, the approach into the boathouse has you going basically right through the proposed pier. It's a direct obstacle. And by the way, let's back up. We'll go ahead. I know we got a big time constraint here, so let's just go straight.
Greg, can I speak?
Yeah, quickly. Go ahead, Brent.
The Coast Guard and the Army Corps only spoke to public navigation offshore. If this pier stuck out into the right-of-way and the travelway, it would be an issue. We are speaking about navigation in the private realm here to the Hirosh Pier in particular.
Yeah, you and I are in complete agreement. We have a slide we can talk over on that. Let's go to the next slide. So as you can see, there's very, very little room to maneuver here. There's only 71 feet between the edge of the boat lift and the Hirosh slips. That is a very, very short distance. Next slide. While we're waiting, there we go. Now, if you
play this,
I'm sorry, Brent.
Robbie, can you push the play video button?
Yeah, let's just take a look at this. You can see where the story pools were in the background, by the way.
Here he is coming in, trying to get into the Haroche Pier. It's a southwest, typical southwest windy day. He came around the corner to miss the pier and missed his own boat, his boathouse. The next slide you will see, if you want to play the next one, we're done with this. Here he comes around on his typical approach as it is today, or if the pier was shorter, how he would approach. This is a windy day out of the southwest, and he can get lined up and get himself into his boathouse safely. The length to the pier headline is a problem, and I would like to speak to the a shorter option, if I may. Greg, do you want me to do that now?
Let's postpone. We've got about 6 minutes left, so I want to be pretty quick. And by the way, Andrew, the longest fetch on the lake is really directly to the south of here. You can get really big waves. This is basically a fairly mild day where we shot that video. In this slide, I mean, you can generate 4 to 6 foot waves out there, and that can come up in a heartbeat, as anybody who's been on the lake knows. So what the zodiacs in this particular illustration show are the length of that 28-foot cobalt you just saw. So that's how much room you've got, or room you don't have, more importantly. This is pretty much flat in this because of the wave direction and so on. But that's not enough room to safely be compatible. That's the bottom line here. There's just no room to adequately maneuver. And well, again, this is a...
The zodiacs show that length of the boat. And on the plans, it shows 79 feet between piers, but it's actually 70 feet from the boat lift to the pier. So you put a 30-foot boat in there, you've only got 20 feet fore and aft, which is very, very minimal and hazardous.
And I think, I didn't see it in Wyatt's PowerPoint, but I think there was an illustration there in Tahoe City Marina where they allowed 30 feet, and that's totally inside a breakwater with no waves whatsoever. So we've got 20 feet on either side. So you would think that would be a problem. And as Brent alluded to before, the navigational things that the Army Corps and the Coast Guard are talking about offshore here, we don't have those issues. Next slide, please.
Greg, we're at 5 minutes.
Okay, I know we are. We're actually, I'm looking at six. Let's just skip this one. We've talked about that. The agencies have weighed in and found there's not a navigational hazard. We're not talking about that. That's offshore. Navigation does not occur inshore of the pier headline for obvious reasons. You're going to crash into a pier. Much our client might crash into his own pier because of the problems of trying to do just that. All right. So now we're going to talk about the length. Here's the length issue. So it's normally 6219. And while we go to the next slide, and of course it's whichever is more limiting, you only make that additional finding if, and here's that last line, the project applicant demonstrates that the additional length is necessary for the functionality of the pier. Let me speak to that. I was around in the 80s when they developed all this stuff. I remember being in on the negotiations. And the idea was you needed 3 or 4 feet below your keel in order to safely maneuver at 6223, or the old natural rim of Lake Tahoe. And again, that's factoring in waves and bottoming out and so on. Now let's go to the next slide. The only way you're going to be able to make that finding is that if there are navigational obstacles within that 2019 or 6219 contour. There aren't. Let's look at some pictures. Next slide.
And if I could speak to these pictures, when I was taking the photographs there, one of my buoys got away from me when I was setting those story poles. and it started to drift towards shore, and I went after it. I draw about 18 inches on my boat, and I got within about 25 feet, 20 feet of shore, and I was surprised. I still had a good 2 feet of clearance. I got the buoy, and I got out of there. I found, and I looked for, it was a very calm, clear day. There are no large obstructions on the alignment of this pier, and it is a small, reasonably small, gradated stone bottom, smaller than, in fact, the shoreline that you see on the left.
Right. It's all fairly uniform, and I saw some declarations that you had in your record. And by the way, there used to be the Jerry Wells rule, you might recall, Andrew, where, yeah, if you need to move some rocks around by hand, that's fine. So it's, to the extent there's some small rocks, you could throw them under the pier. I understand without violating the dredging regulations, at least that was the understanding at that time. But there are no obstructive substrates here. You can't make the finding. Next slide.
And I look closely with a glass bottom box and
slide.
Next slide.
Next slide. We're running out of time.
Okay, so if we shorten the pier to 6219 instead of 62, or instead of the pier headline, it makes a huge difference to navigability for the Hiroshi boat.
Right. I'll have some time for you to talk about scenic, Brent, so we're going to have to just rush through the rest of these.
Okay.
Let's go.
Just about a minute left.
Yeah, and let's go to the next.
Are you going to hold us that? Because I've got some broad sweeping basin-wide issues to touch just quickly.
I read them, Brent. I'm familiar with them. As you know, you and I worked together on those many years ago, and I have read your presentation. I don't think we need to talk about the broad picture. I'm familiar with it.
Okay, can you pull up the scenic?
Well, let's go to the final slide on the uses. Okay. It's not only structures, it's also uses. All of the uses come down to this 20-foot access strip that are used. Let's go to the next slide, please. Just get through this. We're going as fast as we can, Andrew. So you can see there's a historic swim and play area. There's only one place to really get into the water, and it's that 20-foot strip right next to where this new pier would be. And that's where you've got all of these kids playing. This house next door, next slide, is rented out 11 months out of the year. It's a vacation rental. We're going to have inexperienced boaters in this very, very challenging environment to navigate. It's got an accident waiting to happen. And it's happening among swimmers, people on non-motorized boats, paddle boards, all of that kind of thing. It's incompatible with regard to the uses, and it's incompatible with regard to the structures. And again, you can't make the findings for additional length. That bottom is absolutely consistent. If you look at those, the space between the contours there between 6220 and 6219, you'll see there's more than adequate space. I really see I'm out of time, Andrew. I would love to address any questions that occur to you. And I'm glad you reviewed Brent's material, because I think we have a problem with the 5G findings as well. I hope you have some questions.
If I could say one thing. The scenic issues are broad sweeping and fundamental. And if we cannot present this case with respect to scenic impacts, I would ask for a continuance.
Well, and let me just toss in here too, I guess I had a continuing due process objection, but we'll just note that and see what the hearings officer is.
This is the first of 128 new piers that are going to go around the basin, and it's precedent setting. And I think it's a dangerous red flag if you don't address some of the things that this case brings up.
Thank you, Brent. I appreciate your observations, and thank you, Greg, for moving through your proposal. I have reviewed both of them ahead of time. In fact, I think I looked at them twice before the meeting just to make sure I wasn't missing something. While we take additional public comment, of which I expect there will be some, Greg, why don't you and your team confer, and I'll ask you again following the public comment on what I thought I heard was a request for a continuance. So let's leave it at that for the moment. Thank you again. I appreciate the information in your remarks, both of you. And I'd like to ask for Robbie to look for, again, the show of hands for other individuals who would like to make comment on this item. Robbie?
Yes, the next hand I saw that was from Irene Pestana. Irene, I'm going to go ahead and unmute you. Okay, you are unmuted. And if you'd like to make comments still, you will have 3 minutes. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, perfect. I'm going to start the 3 minutes right now.
Okay, just a few questions. As far as the studies that were conducted, I know that there was an environmental, the initial environmental checklist, but what other studies, were there scenic studies, density studies? What other environmental clearances were obtained for this? My other concern is also the safety. Obviously, it is a rental. There will be inexperienced boaters, people that are not used to navigating the waters there. Other concerns, you know, the general overcrowding of, you know, the frontage space is just it putting another, you know, pier in there that close seems not compatible with current plans. We were also notified, we were not notified for the first initial meeting was on 4-1. We didn't get any notification until March 23rd, a week before the meeting, which was not generally enough time to go over all these documents. 155 pages within 6 days was not adequate. Representing the Survivors Trust under Pestana 1986, Family Trust and owner of 5570 and 5588 North Lake Boulevard, we are opposed to this proposal as well.
Thank you. Robbie, next.
Next hand I saw was from Janice Cressetti Edwards. Janice, I will unmute you right now. Oh, it says you are self-muted, so if you'd like to make a comment, you'll have to unmute yourself. Janice, could you click the red microphone? There you go. You should be unmuted now.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. I will go ahead and start the 3 minutes right now.
All right. Thank you. I'm Janice Cressetti Edwards, and I'm at 5554 North Lake. I've been there for more than 44 years, and I at the lake. I'm in between the Pestana Pier and the Harash Pier. It's a confined space. There are buoys there now. There's the two piers. There's boats. And we've used that area for swimming, for kayak use over these many years. And I have children and grandchildren that swim in the lake right there. And with this additional pier, there's going to be far less space than there already is, or boats to contend with, many obstacles and barriers for safe use by the children and grandchildren for swimming, or anyone for swimming, adults as well. It's really going to be absolutely prohibitive for swimming at that point. And access for the larger vessels is going to be restricted, and use of kayaks, which are smaller and have less visibility, is going to be hazardous as well. So I object for all these safety reasons, and hope that each person is conscious of the safety and addresses these concerns accordingly. And the additional pier is going to severely impact safety of everyone that uses the area at this time.
Thank you, Ms. Crescetti Edwards.
Thank you.
Robbie, do we have anyone else who would like to offer public comment?
Yes, the next hand I saw was Nathan Guido. Nathan, I will unmute you right now. Nathan, you are unmuted. And can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thank you. I am calling or dialing in addition to Irene Pastana, who just spoke on her behalf or on behalf of Trust. As an agent, just want to add a couple things that weren't previously stated or ask a couple questions that may have not been asked. First, you know, how Irene mentioned that we got a letter on March 23rd. We actually didn't. It was dated March 23rd. We didn't get it until late, maybe the 29th or 30th or so. So kind of wanted to answer as to, were there any prior communications? Was this the first communication? It seems very unusual to be receiving this letter with so little advance notice and for it to be the first I've heard of this as a contiguous property owner. I note that story polls were put up. Was there any notice to that effect? How long were they up? Is it not common practice for there to be a notification regarding same? These are vacation homes, a lot of homes there. So, you know, depending, I would think that I would like to be apprised as to the notification requirements here that was prescribed. Furthermore, last thing I would just say, you know, we are in opposition for all the reasons mentioned here. Do you think it's entirely too tight? We do have a buoy there that was not mentioned. We have it on each side of our, you know, boathouses that could, you know, obviously be moved, but that is a consideration. You know, generally, you know, this, you know, absent being apprised or being told that there were prior communications here and that there was some level of environmental clearance obtained, I didn't, you know, forgive me for not being fully apprised and as to, you know, perusing all the documents, but, you know, to the extent this was, you know, mitigated neg deck or, you know, CEQA exempt or what have you, whatever the applicable clearances are. I just want to ensure this wasn't rubber stamped. You know, and generally, you know, that is it. You know, beyond this way, I guess my, as my Irene said, my grandmother, you know, what aside from environmental clearance, any feasibility studies, any, you know, I see from the Herosis attorney that they put together some, you know, images that can kind of, you know, give me a visualization of this, but I don't see really any of that, you know, as part of this submittal. So what was viewed, what was contemplated, was overcrowding, you know, analyzed? What is the minimum distance required between piers, et cetera, et cetera. So in final, as contiguous property owner to the north, the Survivors Trust, established under Standing 1982 Family Trust, is opposed to this application at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Guido. Robbie, anyone else?
I saw a few hands that were going up and down. I just wanted to see Michael Horosh. I saw your hand go up and down a few times. I just unmuted you. Would you like to make comment? It says you're self-muted. Okay, I'm not seeing another hand and still self-muted. I also see he asked a question and the question's pane. Okay, he does want to make comment. If you could click the red microphone to unmute yourself and then I can unmute you from there. Okay, great. Michael, you are unmuted now.
Well, thank you for taking the time to take my question, to take my comments. I grew up, you know, I'm 47 years old. I grew up for the last 43 years, starting on that little beach. And then later on, we bought the property next door. And while we might have 220 feet of beachfront on the property next door, it's all rocks. And we funnel down into the original 20 feet. And so does our original house and the original house that you heard from Janice. And also the Johansons funnel down into that beach. And so you have four households that all get their lake access, and all of their guests and all the friends that come over all access the beach or the lake when they're accessing it by land from that 20 feet of beach. And now you're going to have 70 feet apart piers on both sides. You're going to have boat lifts on both sides. And, you know, I've been boating on Lake Tahoe since I was a teenager. And the only place that I see that kind of close quarters boating is when I go to Chambers Landing. And as you all know, they don't allow you to swim off the pier or your boat at Chambers Landing anymore because it's so dangerous to be swimming when there's the piers that close together. But that's what you're going to create when you allow a pier to be wedged in between this 175-foot space, smack in the middle, another pier. So that's an incredibly dangerous situation, and I can't believe that's okay, that that's going to be allowed to happen. And our other, from the Harash perspective and the owners of the boathouse, we get in and out of our dock, and we need about three boat lengths to line it up. And when you saw me coming in, that was on our lakemost approach. We have a boat that comes in on the inside too. And then we have a harbor inside of that. And so this pier is not compatible with our pier. It will severely impact our ability to come into our boat lifts and to come in and for guests to come in to the harbor. We all know what happens out on Lake Tahoe. You go boating for the afternoon, maybe you're in the East Shore, you got a few families in your boat, and and all of a sudden you decide to come back. It's 4, 5, 6 foot waves out there. And you're trying to come in safely into your pier. And now I got to make the approach from the side, taking the waves from the side. We have a rock crib pier, and what that does is the waves actually push past our pier and kind of wrap our pier. And so then when you're behind our pier, the waves are kind of now hitting you at a diagonal, and they push you towards the proposed pier and towards land. And if I'm having to make that turn and not be on my throttle and not be able to get in, how do I come in safely with my family on board? How does somebody who's not as experienced as me come in safely into our pier? We're talking about real harm to our pier, to our property. I understand not having a pier. I grew up on Lake Tahoe with that 20 feet of beach. We didn't have a pier growing up. We had a buoy. We had the Agate Bay Swim Club, which is six docks down, by the way, which they could join, which they could have as a pier for themselves as well. You know, but because it's not an HOA, because it's a club, that qualifies them to get a pier. And they're trying to wedge
this pier. Michael, your 3 minutes is up.
80 foot, but it says 2 minutes remaining. Then to this 80, they're trying to squeeze.
That's not for you, Mr. Hirosh. That's that was, I believe, for Mr. Lean's and Mr. Tram's presentation.
Okay, so
thank you.
Just in closing, you know, we understand their need to want to have a pier, but also understand that we want to still be able to use our pier. And we don't want to stand in the way of them improving their property, but we don't want it to be at the expense of us not being able to use our property. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hirosh. Robbie, do we have any other people who would like to offer comment?
I do not see any more hands raised. I'll do one final call. Is there any other members of the public wishing to comment at this time? Please raise your hand if you'd like to.
All right. Very good. Seeing how we have no additional.
Andrew?
Yes, Robbie.
I just had a comment from Michael saying there are two others having trouble getting on. Michael, I'm going to unmute you real quick. Are they having trouble entering the webinar or?
So we have Kern Schumacher from Incline Village. He wants to speak. And we have Tom Hemmelberg from Agate Bay. He wants to speak. Both are having technical difficulties and both want to speak today. Kern is a full-time resident. My father is a full-time resident. Tom Hemmelberg is a part-time resident. And Kern and both Tom would like to speak. They're having trouble getting on. And the real thing is that we just started really negotiating with the Johansons and trying. And we spend a lot of time with them the other day. And Virginia and I are acting as the peacemakers here. And I ask that you just give us more time to work with each other because we understand their points of view. I think they understand our points of view. And rather than having a contentious issue go before the board, have to be appealed, have to be litigated, why wouldn't you let us have more than 10 minutes to make our case? Why won't you ask us, let's reconvene in 2 weeks. Let's see what we can negotiate together with our neighbors to put a pier in there that we can all live with. Instead of putting a pier in there that we cannot live with and we cannot navigate through and we can't, and we have Kern who wants to speak to that. He's texting me, he's trying to get in, and so is Tom. And I don't know why they're having technical difficulties. I know they're both around 80 years old, but both boat into the pier regularly.
Okay, very good. Thank you. While we look for that, I will not close the public hearing, but I have two things I'd like to do in order to keep us moving. Number one is in the testimony that I heard, I did hear one question that was asked. I believe I probably misspelled the commenter's name. I have written down Ms. Costanzo. That may not be quite correct, but the second commenter who followed Mr. Lee, Mr. Trams, asked what additional environmental documents or studies were prepared. There is information in the staff report about that, and I would like to ask Brandy to please restate what that is in an attempt to answer the question.
So the applicant submitted a TRPA initial environmental checklist. We also completed the Article 5G findings checklist. The applicant prepared an environmental assessment of the project, completed by Dr. Stanford Loeb, and that has to do with fish habitat. All of this information has been posted on the LakeTahoeInfo.org parcel tracker. You can access all of that information by either putting in the TRPA file number or by putting in the assessor's parcel number of the project, and that's all available if you look at the staff report. And then Andrew, the one other question I had was about noticing. So we are required to notice for a hearings officer 14 days before the meeting. We noticed 14 days before the initial April 1st meeting. We did get concerns that a number of people did not receive their notice. So before this April 29th hearings officer meeting, we did notice again 2 weeks before the meeting. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Brandy. All right. I don't have any other questions, but I did, based on the request from the applicant, want to offer the applicant a chance to provide any further input before closing the public hearing.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Strain. This is Wyatt Ogilvie. I think there are a few points that have been made that we would like to add clarification to or have the chance to rebut. And I think in the interest of that, I was going to let Greg Lean, in response to Greg Lean's compatibility piece, as well as the navigation and swim issues, swim safety issues, I think I was going to allow Mr. Gatto to speak to those. In the interest of notice, I did want to express that Virginia Stock had reached out directly to the Pastana family in advance of the public notice being mailed by TRPA via email back on March 18th, offering for our office to have any dialogue regarding the proposal, the design, the path forward. And then I think Chipper Virginia may want to just make a couple comments as owners in closing. So with that, I'll pass it on to Mr. Gatto.
Thank you, Wyatt. Good afternoon, Hearings Officer Strain. Greg Gatto on behalf of the applicants, Virginia Stock and Chip Johansson. Just wanted to briefly touch on a couple of points made during Mr. Lean's presentation. And to reiterate, I think what Wyatt said during his presentation, one of the fundamental organizing principles of the shoreline plan was to implement predictable and consistent rules. And on that basis, the shoreline plan EIS analyzed the development of additional piers around the lake and the potential impacts that those piers would have with regard to various safety, compatibility, and navigational concerns. That EIS and the shoreline plan that was adopted from the analysis was the result of years of meetings, collaboration, and ultimately consensus amongst all stakeholders around the lake. And really, one of the goals of that EIS was to establish these development standards so that if a pier meets those standards and it doesn't have any unusual impacts, as this one does not, then it is an approvable project. I think that the Hirosha's argument is not necessarily about compatibility. It's really about inconvenience. And any perceived inconvenience is solely a result of the Hirosha's non-conforming pier, which projects into the pier setbacks. The EIS, the Shoreline Plan EIS, specifically analyzed consistency and compatibility with shore zone uses and structures. It found that the shoreline plan adopted standards regarding placement and eligibility of structures within the shore zone, and that all new shore zone structures would be required to be consistent with other permissible uses. On that basis, the EIS determined that structures that are built in compliance with those standards would have a less than significant impact in relation to compatibility with established land uses. And that's exactly what we have here. Robbie, I don't know if you have the slides available, if you wouldn't mind bringing those up really briefly. I know that Mr. Lean referenced the Tahoe City Marina slide, and why did you have the ability to show? We do have a picture of the Tahoe City Marina, the slips, and we took some measurements there. And the rows between the slips range from 36 feet, 9 inches to approximately 30 feet. And in the Tahoe City Marina, those boats are able to navigate through rows half the width of what's proposed here. We're proposing about 79 feet, and that navigation is behind a rock crib pier. Also, to briefly address the issue regarding swimming safety, again, the Shoreline Plan EIS specifically analyzed safety to swimming and other non-motorized recreational users in relation to new piers around the lake.
Robbie, the marina slide, I think, is the last in that slide deck. Or second to last. Thank you.
Thank you, Robbie. Yeah, so this slide illustrates the clearance that these boats are navigated around the marina. You know, we've got approximately 30 feet to the north and the 36.9 on the road to the south. And this proposed pier is going to have approximately 79 feet between the existing Hirosh Pier and the proposed location, the pierhead of the Johannesson Pier. And then with regard to the swimming safety issue, again, the EIS specifically analyzed potential impacts to swimmers and other non-motorized recreation users. The Shoreline Plan EIS found that new private piers would be required to comply with design standards for length of the pier and would terminate within the no-wake zone. This would allow non-motorized recreation users and swimmers to move around the end of a pier while remaining within the no-wake zone. Therefore, new piers that complied with the standards were found not to present any safety impacts to swimmers or non-motorized recreational users. And then finally, with regard to navigation, to touch briefly, the Coast Guard actually did specifically look at navigating within this particular area and found that their vessels would have no problem navigating with the proposed pier in place. The only concern that the Coast Guard did express was with navigation and the Coast Guard's vessels in drought conditions. And on that basis, I think Wyatt will speak a little bit too. We have requested the additional length to the pierhead line beyond 6219.
Thank you, Greg. I would like Mr. Strain to note that email correspondence between Captain Fairchild of the U.S. Coast Guard noting the navigational concern and drought conditions dated March 30th, 21, and that's in the packet for today's hearing. Additionally, regarding the navigation, and Mr. Lean spoke to some rock removal, but I did want to highlight the declarations that were provided from both Chip and Virginia that speak to rock removal, as Mr. Lean referenced, for navigational safety into the existing Hirosh boathouse, which is obviously at a, you know, inward of the pier headline itself, and I think illustrates some of the navigational concerns during periods of low water. The EIS itself and its organizing principles spoke to adapting the changing lake levels, and our client feels that in the face of climate change and uncertain lake levels as we move forward, that the additional draft may become of even greater importance than it has been historically. So I think in closing, we feel that the staff finding is correct and applicable here, and the project conforms to the long vetted design development standards through the Shoreline EIS process. With that, I think I'd like to go ahead.
Hey, one more issue, if I may, Hearings Officer Strain. This is Greg Gatto again. Just with regard to the request for a continuance, we did previously allow for a continuance of 30 days to give us some time to discuss what the issues are. The pier itself is not a terribly complex structure. We have thoroughly vetted what the issues are and attempted to negotiate a solution to those issues with the understanding that we are constrained by the development standards that the TRPA has adopted in response to that Shoreline Plan EIS. On that basis, I don't think that there's any advantage to any of the parties to continue this matter any further than it already has been. We've adequately exhausted any potential options, configurations of this pier, and I don't think there's any further concessions that can be made at this time. And with that, I think is Wyatt was going to say, we would like to have Chip Johannesson and Virginia Stock allow them a brief opportunity to also make some comments.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Strain, this is George Johannesson, Chip Johannesson, I go by. I'm here with my wife, Virginia Stock. I think we'd both like to make brief comments.
Please.
I would like to push back a little on the idea that we haven't engaged with people during this process, and I'll try to do that very quickly. Back last August, I was aware that Sam Harash had some concerns about our proposed pier, and so I reached out to him when we were up there at Lake Tahoe, and I invited him to come over and stand on the lakeshore with me and look at the proposed pier so that we could talk about it. This was August 10th, nearly 9 months ago. He came over and we talked about it. I showed how our pier design, as Wyatt showed, was really made to be as considerate to our neighbors as possible. We moved the pier away from them. We also did other things like lowering the deck so that it was as unobtrusive as possible. Mr. Harash asked me at that time about possibly flipping the boat lift with the catwalk, and I said that we'd been told by the pier builder that that wasn't safe for us, but to please keep talking and to keep engaged with us. I heard absolutely dead silence from him for the next 8 months. I reached out to him again before the previous hearing was scheduled on April 1st. In mid-March, I reached out to him, and I told him that it was going ahead. He'd be getting documents soon visible from the TRPA, but invited him to speak with Wyatt Ogilvy. I said, he knows all the technical stuff. Talk to him if you have any questions, and then if it's awkward talking to me, it won't be difficult. Again, we heard absolutely nothing from him. We heard nothing at all until 2 days before the hearing when they showed up with attorneys. So I would ask that you approve the project as scripted, and it's safe and it meets all the requirements. And despite what you might have heard, we've made real efforts to keep the neighbors in the loop. And this is my wife, Virginia, now.
Hi, Virginia Stock, wife and owner of that property there with my husband. Very happy to have the Pastanas on this line because my main contact was Shannon. And when she told me you guys hadn't received any notice, I called earlier saying this thing's going to go up. Take a look if you need, it's going to have drawings on it if you need help. I know you guys probably know how to read blueprints better than I, but anyway, let me know. So, because Wyatt Ogilvy offered to be available. Anyway, I just want everyone to know that the reason we asked for a continuance was partially because the Harashes showed up with an attorney at the last minute. But also for you, the Pastanas, they tell me it was all sent out properly, but I understand it wasn't found properly. So sorry about that. No ill will from your neighbors here. But Michael asked that we continue our conversations. I will not advocate that. I'd like this to be approved today. That's my goal. I spent 2 days up there meeting with him, his team. I did become a little frustrated at points because I felt that I was being given threats and so forth. And I articulated that. But what I really want to talk about is safety, which I'm told I'm supposed to call functionality. But what they are proposing in this shortened pier leaves approximately in a drought year, leaves literally 2 to 3 feet if someone jumps, dives, or falls off it. That is patently dangerous, and it just should not happen. That's the reason every pier in that area extends out as far as it does. And here's the significant thing. We lose all other access to the lake. There's some stairs you can get down to. Michael referenced our house using those stairs. We will no longer have those. The only access to the lake we'll have is this pier. So, you know, someone's going to jump off or dive or just simply fall off that pier, and it's incredibly unsafe if there's only 2 to 3 feet water there in the drought year. So that is, I'm sure the TRPA is not going to advocate that. And on another level, Michael showed, there was a pretty wild entry from Michael on that video. I've never seen anyone, honestly, you guys are pretty conservative drivers. You may have to be slow down the way everyone else does with a normal boat in it. But you don't normally approach like that. So anyway, in terms of safety, again, Ms. Edwards mentioned swimmers in that area. It is insane to move the boat closer to people swimming. It needs to be where it is. That length is crucial for life safety. I'll call it functionality. I believe the staff has completely addressed goals and issues in the TRPA's guidance, and I urge you to not continue this. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Stock.
And Andrew, I had a couple questions from some members of the public. Would it be okay to have them ask a few questions?
Members of the public, are these people have already testified?
Yes, this is Michael Harash and Brent Trams.
A combined 3 minutes, and then I'd like to, if we do not have the other two gentlemen, Mr. Schumacher, Mr. Hamelberg, who were mentioned by Mr. Harash, then I will intend to close the public hearing. So please, Robbie, start the clock for 3 minutes and unmute them.
Okay, Brent was first. Brent, you are unmuted.
I just wanted to point out that the applicant has now had about 45 minutes for their presentation, an additional 19 or 20 minutes from when Wyatt started through to the owner's finish, and we had 10. The impacts to the Harosh property are significant, and this is seemingly unfair. But in addition to that, the public did not see the full issue presented. They were shorted of 10 or 20 slides in our presentation, and we were cut short of our time. I don't think that's due process. And I'm quite frustrated by the agency's unwillingness to present the full story. So I just want to go on record for that, and on record for it doesn't seem fair that they got so much more time when this is an issue affecting the Harosh property and the other properties on that right-of-way that use that swimming area and that access to the lake. Thank you.
Thank you, Brent. Mr. Harosh, the balance of the time is yours.
Greg Lean, please.
Oh, sorry, Greg Lean.
Oh, thank you very much. I will try to be as brief as possible. And with due respect to my esteemed colleague, Greg Gatto, I think his implication that just meeting the design standards when you're going for the maximum you possibly can, I've participated in every shoreline meeting going back to the 1980s. And while generally that's true, when you have specific findings that you need to make, whether they're 5G findings, the Chapter 80 findings, or the Chapter 84 findings, those are mandatory and additional. In particular, as to the additional length, you have not made your case. You didn't even come back with an argument that there's obstacles in that area. You can see from our photographs that there are none. There are none. And further, you've heard considerable testimony that these things are not an inconvenience. They are more than an inconvenience. And again, the dictionary definition says things that exist or occur without problems for conflicts. We clearly have a conflict here that will only be resolved by shortening that pier to allow for a safe run. So there's multiple reasons here within the code itself that are standards. They are standards that say you can't have everything that you want. I've got the Rolling Stones running through my head right now. You know, you can't always get what you want, but we're willing to try, not just sometimes, but anytime to try to come together with you and reach an agreement. I hope we can. Nonetheless, given the time and the inability of some people to participate, we will renew our request for a continuance. If the chair doesn't seem as amenable to that, we will, of course, be appealing if you choose to approve it. Nonetheless, Andrew, you could approve it with a condition that they shorten this, as they should, under the code. And if you have any questions about that, I urge you to please go back, look at our photographs. And again, I don't think we have any substantial evidence in the record that the additional length is needed. In fact, we've got proof that they don't. And I'll leave it there.
Thank you, Greg. Robbie, did we were we successful in getting the other two gentlemen mentioned connected?
I do not see them. I'd sent call-in information and registration link again to Michael in the chat. Michael, any luck getting them on the line?
No luck getting them on the line, but if you would please note that they would like to have standing at a full board hearing if that ends up being the case, and that is Kern Schumacher and Tom Hemelberg, so that they both have standing at the full hearing that they attempted to be heard today, but through technical difficulties have not been able to log in.
Very good. Thank you. Robbie, anyone else who has not yet commented?
I do not see any other hands that are raised, so we can continue with the review of the agenda item.
Thank you, Robbie. And I will close the public hearing on this item, and I do want to observe the thoughtful and thorough public comment, including that provided by the applicant and the applicant's agent. I appreciate the discussion. I understand that this is a complicated issue and not one that's easily resolved. And I appreciate the fact that as neighbors, you have begun the discussion in order to try and reach an acceptable compromise and solution. That is often the case in situations like this, using our new shoreline plan and development standards that are a part of that shoreline plan. I could feel it, even though we're not in the room together, it was evident your concern and your interest in solving the problem. Thank you for your patience in doing that. I would urge you to continue to try and work out an acceptable solution between the neighbors so that there is the ability for everyone to feel like they're getting some or all of what they're after. I know that's important, and I'm optimistic that you can do that together. Our public hearing is closed. We go back to the motions then that are in our staff report that presented by the staff. I will approve the project as proposed based on the motions that we will approve. I will approve the required findings that are contained in the staff report, and those include the Chapter 4 findings, including the FONSI, findings in Chapter 80, and were there any other code sections in there outside of Chapter 80, Brandy?
Just give me a second. Chapter 4 and Chapter 80, yeah.
Yes, I have those. I have those, and I will also then approve the project as it's been proposed that are subject to the conditions that are contained in the draft permit, which is also attached to the staff report. That reaches the end of our public hearing items. Again, thank you everyone for your participation and your input. It is meaningful, and I personally appreciate hearing your concerns and your views of the issues for both agenda items, although we didn't have any real public comment on the first one. Seeing that we are at the end of our agenda, I will move on to item 5 in our agenda, which is the adjournment. I will adjourn our hearings officer meeting for April 29th, 2021 today, and we will stand adjourned. Thank you, everyone.